Well, Joe, welcome, dude. Welcome to the Back Pocket.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's a long time coming.
I know.
We've definitely talked about recording a podcast with you for, I gotta imagine, over a year at this point.
It's been over a year, and even since like Lincoln Drink and everything, talking about it. So I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, dude. In addition to that, it's kind of fun to like work with you now, too. I mean, we're kind of behind the production side on the back end of things with the Adam Thielen and the Adam Thielen ETS podcast,
yeah,
which has been awesome. I think by the time this drops, we'll have 4 or 5 episodes of that out.
Yeah, we're on episode 3, just released yesterday.
Yep.
So yeah, we're killing it.
Yeah. No, so it's been fun to just like work in conjunction with IFA, which is who you work for.
Yeah.
But just working with you, getting to know you over the last couple of years, it's just been an absolute thrill, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been fun.
It's been a blast. And I know Deck kind of gave us a little high level overview of you know, who you are, but we'd love for you to, you know, dive in for our listeners and give a quick background on who Joe Cooks
is. Do you want the short story or the long one?
Oh, we'll break down the long one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
You podcast. Can start wherever you'd like, and then we'll unpack from there.
There's nothing short about anything in the sense of a podcast, dude. So
okay, just wanted to make sure, because we're going back to like 13, 14 years old. So
wow.
Oh, yeah, we go way back.
Baby cool. Tyke Joe.
Yes.
Baby Tyke, dude. It's the Baby Tykes podcast.
Oh, Joe, gosh, I hope that nickname doesn't stick around.
Dude, you're such a cute little Baby Tyke.
Me without a beard, then I am for sure.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I guess where to start. I was like 13, 14 years old. I've always, you know, played sports when I was growing up and everything. And then I found out about Instagram, social media when I was pretty young. And I always liked art, stuff like that. And I thought no better way than to try and figure out Photoshop for the first time at like 13, 14 years old and create graphics of sports players. And social media was just popping at that time. Instagram was fairly new, like probably, I don't know, 3 years old. And so I started doing graphics for players on social media. Got some attention there just from them reposting, because back then Instagram didn't have DMs, no tagging people, there were no verifications, it was just people on there. And so that's kind of how I started figuring out this is something I really like to do, whether it's social media, sports, just anything in that realm. And then I had an Instagram page with probably like 50,000 followers, and I was just working Instagram's algorithm. Back then, it was all chronological. So trying to figure out how to get the most followers and grow pages, sell shout outs on there, everything. That was what I was doing when I was super young. And then after that, I actually met my best friend now through Instagram. So his name's Peter. He has probably over 500,000 Instagram followers now. Doesn't really post a lot, but back then we were just kind of running the sports design, like highlight page stuff.
What's his official name or Instagram
it's
handle?
It's so long. I've tried to tell him to like change it, but he won't. It's called Coolest College Football Uniforms. And so when we were little, you would just see all these cool uniforms, like Oregon football and stuff would have these uniforms, and he would just post them. And he would get tons of followers, tons of likes, sell shout outs and everything. And that's what we did. So
Wow. That
was probably around 15, 16.
And you met this guy online?
Yes. And there's a whole story on how we met too. I was young. My parents, I think I met him when I turned 18, hadn't really flown much. And of course, parents being the protective ones, which is good. They last thing they want to hear is, oh, you're going to meet someone you met online for the first place. Like that's just something my parents were not trying to hear. So did a little bit of finessing. Got to Denver, met him for the first time, and we're just best friends, like, day one. So that was kind of when I was younger, and then I got into photography a little bit, sports games, still doing the graphics and everything. And then once I got into school, I was in Mankato, I heard of this creative agency, Social Butterfly. So I reached out to them through DM, ironically. It's so funny because everyone, when they're applying for a job or they want to connect with someone, they think it has to be this email or they have to reach out professionally through the website. first job I got that I really, really loved was through a DM. And I started out as a photographer with them, just doing one-off projects, worked with them for probably, I want to say 2 years. I was doing account management. That's how I met you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep. At Lincoln Drink through Brandon.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah.
The founder. RIP was, to Social Butterfly, but they were firing on all cylinders.
We were. I just remember meeting you guys for the first time. Was it the first Lincoln Drink?
You got to name the night, but I'm not sure.
It might have been at Finnegan's as like right before.
Oh yeah. That was like two or three. I think Lincoln Drink two or three.
Yeah.
But that's when I met you guys, and I was at Butterfly for two and a half years doing account management, social media, same thing I'm kind of doing now. And then I started working at IFA. So, and that is, it's a lot, but it is exactly what I love to be doing. I'm doing photography for our clients, little bit of recruiting here and there, and then social media management for not only our pages, but some of our clients as well. So you see all these players posting on social media, but there's also some that don't care about social media at all. Like, it's just too much. They're in, like, they're very famous people, so that's something they just don't care about. And that's where I get to jump in and try and direct them in the best way possible, help them post anything like that. So now here we are.
Yeah. Damn, well, that's a journey.
It's crazy too. Because I was going to mention you were at Mankato, right? But then did you graduate from Mankato or did you go straight to Butterfly?
I went straight to Butterfly.
What was that transition like? And how did your parents think about that?
Well, it was one of those where I guess I love being challenged, I would say. That's something that just kind of drives me. And for me, you know, a lot of people say you have to graduate to get a good job. You have to graduate to do something you really want. And for me, it was just networking, finding the right people, focusing on what you care about before anything else, like literally anything. That's all I was focused on. And at that point, I just kind of was showing my parents, like, they were seeing what I was doing.
Right.
And I told them, I was like, I'm not really willing at this point to give up that to try and finish my degree. Now, granted, I would love to finish my degree, but right now I'm on a great path. That's not something that's like going to cut out any time that I have right now. But sure. It didn't go over easy the first time I said it. I will say that.
Yeah. What was that pitch like? What were the preparation? Because I mean, it's not like you were going around. You weren't dropping out per se to like fuck off. Like, no. You know, and like go travel or like not have like an actual plan in order.
Yeah.
You chose to, you know, have this thing in place and you were already working there. So what was that like having that conversation with your parents?
You know, it was, my parents are never the type to just tell you what you should be doing, which I really love about them. But for me, it was just kind of proving it. I kind of just let what I was doing do the talk. So having that conversation with them wasn't necessarily difficult or something we had to sit down and talk about because they already knew what I was doing. I was sharing with them, hey, I'm traveling to this with our client. I am posting this on social media. You saw that. Oh, look, I just so happened to be on TV for like 0.1 seconds, which to parents and some older people, like being on the news is crazy, crazy cool. Yeah. Which is funny because at least for me, I like the news doesn't mean as much to me.
Right, does to your parents.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. For me, I would rather be on like a social media post. I'm like, oh yeah, that's me, than on the news. But
that's just a generational difference, really.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's something that was a little tough because my job field isn't something that was around 10, 15 years ago. Like, this job field just did not exist. And now you will see whether it's a team, it's an agency like us, it's so valuable. This is where you're going to get, whether it's, because think about it, we're recruiting kids that are younger than us. So what are they on? They're on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. What better way than to have a great social media presence so you can do your marketing? So that was something where I think that part was hard for them to understand. But now seeing it on Instagram, Facebook, stuff like that, they're all in on it. So, yeah.
Amen.
That's sick, man. And then so IFA is the Institution for Athletes, right?
The Institute for Athletes.
Institute for Athletes. Yes. I hope Blake's not listening. I don't want to screw that up. But like even that in itself is just a really fascinating, like you're working for basically an agency. Like,
yeah.
And like for professional athlete agency. Like,
yeah.
How has that been hanging out and being around like the Adam Thielens, the Justin Jeffersons, all the local big NFL players that play for the Vikings or even beyond that. Obviously, there's tons and tons of different players that you've hung around and shot with all the time. Like, what's that experience been like for you?
You know, I think it's really interesting because until you're working in an agency, it's kind of this thing where no one really knows what goes on. Right. They just think that, oh, they see someone got a new contract. That's about it. That's all they really see an agency doing. But there's so much more to it. And it's kind of funny because I was just telling one of my coworkers this last week, but yes, these guys play football, but I honestly forget sometimes that they do because of all this other stuff we're doing for them.
Right.
Because for us, we're kind of a boutique agency, a little bit smaller, but with that means that we can talk with these guys and really make sure they're getting what they want, whether it's something for a foundation, it's a football camp, something they want to do philanthropically, anything like that, we're hands-on. And so for me, just being in kind of a smaller agency, getting to see how it works, it's really cool just to experience that firsthand. Like, these guys, you see them on Sundays and they are the coolest people ever, but at the end of the day, they're just people. And that's something that I really like. Like, I've grown to have a few relationships with some of our players, and it's just cool. Like, they're just regular people, just like everyone else. And it's so cool to see them on TV when they're doing well, because I'm working every game day. I'm watching every single game, every single play they're doing. But one, seeing all the work they're putting in the off season, everything they're doing behind the scenes that they're not posting about, that's not on TV, and then just seeing how good of people they are. Like, they're just normal people having normal lives. They just so happen to be very gifted and they play football.
Yeah, that's super cool, man. Would you say this is almost like the dream job, if you will? Like, while, 'cause you were just describing, you know, being 13, 15 years old, talking about reposting college uniforms and being obsessed over, you know, showing off what the limelight is like for college and NFL athletes.
Yeah.
And now you are actually like in hand, like communicating and doing that for them without, like, you're not just pulling it and doing it. You're actually doing it. That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. I would say right now I'm doing my dream job for sure. It's just,
awesome.
I mean, it's one of those where, again, this job wasn't around when I was born or anything, but just knowing what I want to do and just kind of trying to network, build relationships, show what I can do, brought me here, and I am completely happy. So
yeah, you're continuously on that path. Like, you haven't veered away from it.
No.
Which is super cool.
And I think it'll be interesting to, you know, 10 years from now, what social media will be like. Because it's one of those where TikTok, at least from what I remember, TikTok wasn't as huge 2 years ago. Now it's insanely big. And Instagram was huge when it first started out. It's obviously still big, but there's a lot of people that have some gripes with it, whether it's just some of the small stuff they do. I'm very interested to try and just stay with the trend. Obviously, I'm not old, so I have a ways to go, but just stay with the trend, see where social media takes us. It could be something completely different in 10 years.
Yeah. I might digress here for a sec, but it's really funny to think about, like, the TikTok progression from how, like, we were able to grasp it. And then at the end of 2018, we had a guy step in and produce for us for a few episodes, Piff Peterson. He graduated with us at St. Thomas, and he was doing some photo work for us and some video work on the back end.
Yeah.
And we actually had him on the podcast twice since then. But, like, he was telling us how TikTok changed from, what was it, Musical.ly,
that's right.
Musical.ly to TikTok. And he's like, it's this whole new format, and, like, I'm posting these unique videos and it's doing really well, and I'm, like, really excited about it. And then in 2019, you know, he kept posting and posting and posting, and he became, like, the one of the beginning TikTok influencers, where he was like getting sent out to, like, the VMAs and stuff to be the face for TikTok.
What? Yeah.
And he was, like, popping off and everything. And it was like Jack and I were sitting there like, holy shit, this guy was just, like, fucking behind our fucking camera.
Right,
like,
here. We're like, wait a second, dude. Like, you kind of called this. Like, I remember after he had recorded that finale episode of season two in 2018, and he's like, yeah, dude, I got like 50,000 followers on there. And all of a sudden, like, comes back like the next year, or no, not even then. It was like 3 months then from then, right?
I think it was in March.
Yeah, it was like 3 or 4 months later. He had 1.2 million. And then now he was sitting at like 2 million. And after that, he was one of the first ones.
And this,
like,
was 2019.
This was 2019. And then he has basically been in the dark since
then 2020 he fell started. Then something happened and we don't
something
know what
happened. We don't know.
He's gone.
He's gone.
Like, for real gone. Like, I mean, has his Instagram. He has his Instagram of like 150,000, and he posts on his story every once in a while. And it looks like he's doing okay. Like, he's hanging out with friends and doing whatever.
Yeah.
But like, his main Piff account looks like it got shut down or something. And he created another like pseudo Piff account, and then that one got, looks like that one got shut down or is not active or what. He's not making content anymore. Okay. So then we have a lot of questions, and we wanted to have him back on the podcast.
I was about to say, sounds like a great podcast to start asking those.
Yeah.
His great demise isn't necessarily the point of the story, but like, that's a part of it.
The progression of TikTok.
The progression of TikTok is wild. Yes. And that was like a 2-year span of like, sitting here today, a 2-year span of like exponential growth. So like, you're absolutely right. Like 10 years from now, you have no idea. No. And it doesn't really matter how early and how late you jump on. You just have to make sure you're like staying up to date and like understanding, okay, this is a whole different ball game. What do I have to like learn about this space?
Yeah. And I think it's interesting too with social media, because a lot of people think it's just posting. They're like, oh, post, like get it out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, just get it out. And there's actually a lot of strategy to it.
Totally.
Because every single platform has their own algorithm, which is extremely important. That's one of those things where I think a lot of people overlook it. But Instagram, their algorithm is terrible.
It's fallen off. At least in the last like year, it's fallen off aggressively.
Like when it was chronological order, it was great. You actually could see stuff that was happening in real time because it would show up chronologically. Now it's just kind of hit you with whatever you want. Like whoever, you know, they think you like the most or whoever you interact with the most, that's who they're going to show. And so it's tough as a creator, an agency, something like that, where if you don't have that group of people that are just dialed in, you're missing a lot of eyes. And I think that's mostly because Instagram and Facebook are now together, and they got rid of a lot of people just selling what I was doing, shout outs, with removing chronological order. Because I would know for that first hour, everyone's going to see it. And so I could hit it at the prime time. Say if it was a post about basketball, like a shout out for a basketball page, I knew I could post it at prime time for a basketball game and they would get tons of followers, whatever they need. Whereas now Instagram and Facebook are selling their own ads. So why would they do chronological order if they can just make the money themselves?
Right.
And then there's TikTok, where their algorithm is just on point. The For You page is something I get worried, but at the same time, I'm just impressed with how accurate it can be. It's pretty scary sometimes, but it's impressive.
Yeah. It's interesting because, again, to tap into like our personal progression of Instagram, or not Instagram, but more specifically TikTok, of like when Piff was telling us about all this stuff and we're seeing all this growth, and then like we didn't really buy in until like 2020 at the very beginning.
Yep.
And then we started doing it and we were like, okay, well, we don't really know it.
Piff was popping off all of 2019 and Tech and I still were like,
I don't know about this one yet. Yet. And then what TikTok does so well is it pushes your content that is specific to whatever the video is or whatever the content you put out, it finds the community and the people that would like it.
Yes.
And that's why it's so powerful. And the fact that it has a direct link to Instagram now is even better. Because
And YouTube.
And Andrew and I, we just started posting on it every day. We were like, we're going to figure it out. We're going to do whatever we possibly can. And honestly, we just figured out how to make viral videos. We didn't necessarily figure out how to build a community down there. Like, Backpocket has 14,000 TikTok followers, but like, it's hard to understand who those people are at all, because we've had like various different TikTok videos go viral that have really, I mean, it's Backpocket stuff, but it's not directly like, oh, this is a podcast that's posting podcast content. Go follow them because it's podcast content. It was like, we posted just like cool drone videos of Andrew and I running at the camera. Then all of a sudden, some girl talking about an orgasm on Straight Candid gets 500,000 in a day. And then like,
I think you guys know where you need to start posting about with that one or something. Well, at that point,
then we had Straight Candid start their TikTok, and then they started posting all their content, and then that started going viral. And then their downloads and their following and their YouTube page all skyrocketed. And so then Andrew and I, like, the light bulb went off and it was like, oh, okay, TikTok is like the best way to like get yourself in front of a mass audience that is dialed in to yes. the type of content you want to show them. Instagram is like your house and your rock of like the people who have loved you.
It's your ride or dies.
It's your ride yes. or dies. So yep. it's like, that's like your legitimate community. Like if you needed like a place to stay, you go to Instagram, not TikTok. Like
yeah.
if you needed people to show up to an event, you go to Instagram, not TikTok. Like
yep.
And TikTok's kind of your top of funnel, like grab as many people.
Exactly.
Your Instagram yes. is like your home folk.
Yes.
So we started to figure that out. And so like now it's just like, okay, well, Backpocket's this production company that's like going to be posting a plethora of content. So like now we're trying to kind of reform and reshape our TikTok, but yeah. we're also just like, okay, well, we have the date night podcast. Now let's start a date night podcast TikTok and start working on drawing traffic towards that specifically. And it's really rinse and repeat at the end of the day.
Yeah.
10 years from now, when TikTok doesn't exist and Instagram's a thought of the past, it's like, there's gonna be something new, but the real goal at the end of the day is get the eyes, get the community fired up, and just like keep posting the content.
Yeah. It is very crazy on TikTok how it's one of those where if you're consistent, some post that you will not expect is going to blow up. Mm-hmm. It just will. And it's one of those, like, you can scroll through a page, you see something on For You page and you look through, unless it's a big popular page, it's just some person's random post that was from maybe even like April, and it shows up on your feed and it's blowing up.
It's crazy how that yes. works, how old they draw and how relevant it still feels.
Yes.
Like how spot on that algorithm can work.
Yeah.
That aspect is like why the top of the funnel like approach to understanding TikTok is so like spot on.
Yeah.
Like that is the hands down the best organic way to draw traffic is on TikTok.
Yeah.
Because they can just bring in new listeners and or new viewers
mm-hmm.
through the way that the algorithm works, how like the video that it's the length of the video that it's watched and the amount of touch points inside it, the type of content. I don't know how it's like, if it's pulling words from the video to then like push, like if it's talking about love and someone's like obsessed about like romantic scenes, okay, now they're seeing all of that type of thing. If it's pulling yeah. the word football and like pushing it that way, it is so spot on. I don't know. Maybe I'm just obsessed over it because it's like fucking working so well with Straight Candid, and that's, and it like, it found the right pool of people, and right. all of those people went to the pod link and pushed the traffic to the podcast
fluid.
Page.
Really? It was fluid. It was so fluid. It was the coolest thing ever. Like, and now they average, you know, tons of downloads a month, and like they're continually growing, and it's just cool to like see something that Andrew and I have worked on for 4 years. Like, how do you get something from like a social page that's like video dominant to like an audio source that's so dedicated?
Yeah.
Like, and people love it.
Right.
And so like the TikTok thing is great. And what's cool about like being the production company now is like the consulting side of our experience, where it's like we can go to an IFA and we had calls like before we even launched the ETS, and like I think we could have talked 2 hours, but we were just like, okay,
probably.
Let me just start on bare bones, get this mixer and get these mics and like start recording and call me back when you guys are ready to go.
Yeah.
And then, but like there's so much more to it, which is so crazy. And it's all rooted in like the experience of these last 4 years for us, which
oh,
is
yeah.
just
yeah.
insane, dude.
It's crazy because we were just at a workout with Adam, and he mentioned to me that he really wanted to do a podcast. And I thought it was going to be just like, at first I thought he meant he wanted to hop on one. And then I was like, wait, no, like he can hop on a podcast if he wants. Realized he wants to do a podcast. And then we found out he wanted to do it for every single gym director, which is I think 15 or 16 gym directors total for his gym. And the guy loves football, loves his family, and loves golf. And he was all in on the podcast from day one. He was like, we got to get it going. Let's do it. Just all in. And it was so cool to see him very focused on it. And, you know, there's a lot of back end work. Obviously, you guys know, you guys are helping with the production of it. And none of that goes unnoticed. And he loves every single second of it. Like, he makes time after his workouts to come in and do these. And he wants to keep doing it too, which is great.
That's the best news of all time.
There we go.
That's the best news of all time.
There we go.
It's like, best news. Like, you were able to lead in how you had the opportunity to, you know, start working this venture with pro athletes.
Yeah.
To sit here 4 years into this, now working on year five of Backpocket, to have this opportunity and to hear that we're doing our job. That's
yeah.
all that I care about. And he yeah. likes it. And it's a good product.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
It's so great. Yeah. I would love to see him host his own podcast mm-hmm. when he retires. Don't I don't know when that will be or anything, but when he ends, I think he would be great on a podcast.
So you don't think he would do one like during the season and all, like, not saying during
off,
the season,
maybe
but
off season.
Maybe off season. Like, he's not going to try and start some sort of podcast now while he's playing.
I think the ETS one is kind of as much as he can do right now, just time wise. I think if he had any free time, he would love to do more podcasts, but just knowing the season, like, these guys are busy with meetings during the week, obviously games whenever they happen.
Yeah.
My guess is it'll probably be something off season wise, kind of like what we did now, where mm-hmm. it's just try and pump through as many episodes as we can, just because his time is so limited. He has a baby on the way, I think, next week or something. Yeah. So
Number three.
Yeah. So he will have his hands full.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned it earlier in the podcast, I want to expand on it. Might as well expand now that I remembered it. But you're like,
this is the platform to expand.
This is the platform to expand.
But exactly.
You touched on the idea of like how these athletes, you forget sometimes that they like play football or that their main job is being an athlete.
Yeah.
And this Adam Thielen example is like a perfect example of like, how does like a guy like Adam even fit in a podcast? And it's great that he wants to, but like, it shows that like the commitment level has to be exceedingly high in order for something like this yes. to happen. So like as IFA looks at their athletes, and like, obviously when you're an athlete, your social presence is going to be incredibly boosted, and there's tons of opportunities to take advantage of now to set you up for the next 30, 40 years of your life.
Right. Yeah.
So what's that balance like in terms of IFA and how they like influence their athletes to do different things, or like, what do you guys tell them makes the most sense to do or get involved with?
Yeah.
To fill in their free time,
quote unquote free time. Yeah,
exactly. Like, so what are kind of the examples of like what they do typically?
I would say it's kind of hard because again, nobody really knows until you're in an agency what these guys are doing outside of the season, because like I said, they're not posting what they're doing every single day.
Right.
And for these guys, when it's the off season, like Adam is a great example. All he does is just work out in the off season, hangs out with his family, golfs when he has free time, and that's about it. And so for a lot of these guys, we just ask, even when we first meet them and everything, what they want to do, what they don't have time for, and what they would like help with. And it's one of those where for Adam, for instance, his foundation is a big part of his life, and that's something he really wants to focus on. So he has an entire foundation. We're doing a whole fundraiser for new lights at the Brooklyn Center High School right now. That's something that he's making time for and he really cares about. If they want to do anything, we will try and find a connection for it. And so I kind of used to think that athletes, like, once the season was done, they're just relax and chilling the entire off season, but that's far from it. They're a lot busier than I really expect. But I would say for our clients, it's just figuring out what they like and try and help them get involved in it, whatever it is. So like one of our players, Steven Weatherly, is with Vikings now. He loves glass blowing. He's one of the most creative people I know. And we got him on a Netflix show called Blown Away last year, I believe. And he just loves glass blowing, has a blast doing it, and we got the connection, and that's what he does in his free time.
What exactly is glass blowing? Like
making glass vases, all that stuff, even like this, but you know, the colored ones and stuff?
Yeah.
That's what he does. So in his free time, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we were somewhere in Minneapolis.
Like something like that over there. I wish I had a camera on it. Yeah,
exactly.
Or just like imagine like if you're smoking a bowl and like
that's what I'm actually picking.
Like, yes. And you see like the Rasta flag like
yes.
weaved in through the bowl. That is glass blowing, Andrew.
Yes.
Now he's got
yes.
it.
See, that means, yes. Now he's got the connection. But I mean, he loves it. He's good at doing it. And we got him on his show because that's something he cares about. And hopefully he's on the show again because he did a great job. So
yeah. Well, that's cool. I mean, you guys are like connecting people with their passions and trying to amplify what they really love to do outside of their main focus, which would be yeah. like a football or whatever their athletic occupation is.
I know. Yeah.
That's what an awesome blessing, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that like Andrew and I are trying to navigate too, as we try and find, you know, different people who want to start podcasts. And like, we were originally thinking, you know, every athlete's going to want a podcast, blah, 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 blah. But then as we started looking into it and like realizing, and of course there's tons of athletes that still want to do that. But then I started putting myself in their shoes and I'm like, God, you know, the last thing a lot of these guys want to do is speak to the press. A lot of these guys want to do is like have a soundbite that they said on something get exposed and like cause a PR nightmare or something like that. And I was thinking like, God, that like kind of that's part of a podcast. It's just like a free flowing, open conversation. Like, no wonder a lot of these guys like don't want to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And it makes sense. It does. And some of them, you know, it's just one of those where they deal with the media enough already, whether it's the press interviews, post game, pregame, anything like that. The last thing, like you said, they want to do is have the camera on them again.
Right.
Right.
So,
and maybe get caught up in saying something, then like the media blowing it out of proportion,
taking it out of context.
Exactly.
Whatever. That never happens for sports, though. That never gets taken out of context.
It never gets taken out of context. That's the exact opposite. Stephen A. doesn't take things out of context.
Never.
Yeah. And then, like, that's kind of the negative side of it, but, you know, positive me always thinks, like, well, you know, this could be something that really reinforces their personality that can take them, you know, above and beyond. And I guess it just really makes, you have to just find the right person, right? And,
yes.
And that's ultimately what it comes down to. Speaking of finding the right person, I think we got to talk about the, like, us actually, like, meeting each other. Because I was thinking more on this. I think
for the first time or in Arizona?
First time.
Okay. Oh my gosh, Arizona.
Arizona was wild too.
We had a great time.
That was insane. That was during COVID.
I wasn't there, but I've only heard stories.
Because I think originally we had met through intern Sam anyways. And then at Lincoln Drink, at that Lincoln Drink, it was more like a, oh, dude, I'm Sam's buddy. And we're like, oh, dude, yeah, we know this guy.
Shout out to Sam then. Yeah. Wow. I forgot about that.
Right. Yeah. I just wanted to talk on more of that because, like, your first encounter was like at the Lincoln Drink stuff, but I can barely remember those just from.
I just remember knowing about you guys the first time because Brandon was mentioning we're recording everything. And for Lincoln Drink, we were doing everything, like getting from our office to wherever the destination was. We've got red carpets piled in the car, cameras, everything, name tags, Sharpies, you name it, we had it. Like, everything was just getting set up. And Brandon mentioned, he's like, yeah, the Back Pocket Podcast, they're going to come record it. And from there, it was just perfect. I met you guys the first time. I was like, oh my gosh, Back Pocket Podcast. Yeah, I've seen you guys posting everything, but I never got to meet you guys in person. And then I think you guys after that were at every single Lincoln Drink, just having a good time recording podcasts, and we were good.
Do you miss being kind of like a facilitator of events and like bringing people together?
I do and I don't. It's a lot. As you guys probably know, event planning is intense. There's a lot of stress on it. There's people wanting to change their tickets, stuff like that. Even just trying to get people to buy tickets in the first place. Like, that was something for us. We had, when we started out, it was all free at Lincoln Drink, but then we realized, oh, we're losing a lot of money, like just trying to pay for the space. And so we had to start charging just to cover the cost because we were losing money. And it was one of those where some people were upset just trying. I was the social media manager in Butterfly. We all just kind of did everything. I love it just because when you put on a good event, there's nothing better. Mm-hmm. You just feel so great because it was successful. Everyone loved it. But the stress and just commitment beforehand, that gets to you, as you guys probably know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I absolutely love events.
Really?
I will take Andrew's
mystery event guy.
So if I have events, I can hit you up and you'll help out. For sure.
I'll take on that stress to deliver. The stress like goes on in the background to make what happens in person.
You live for that.
I think it's the most rewarding feeling.
He lives for it, dude. But it's fulfilling for sure. It's
like,
very fulfilling.
Like, no one notices. Like, everyone sees the event, they have a great time, and they come up to you and they say, that was awesome. Like, I can't wait for next year. Or you're doing the date night podcast. I can't wait for next week. You do something like that, and you, like, putting in the time and the diligence, the small details, and executing on it, and then winning and seeing all the people in person. I don't know if it's just because we podcast so often and we don't actually see our audience. So then when I get to the events, it's like, oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
But I thrive in those situations. And yeah. so do you. Like, you eat it up. He's the OG event guy.
You guys also have, you have it down to a formula now, I feel like, for the most part. Whereas when you're, like, Link and Drink, once we had the events, you know, three or four, then it was good. Then we kind of knew what the plan was. We knew what we were dealing with.
Totally.
Starting out, different story.
Oh, yeah, man. But, like, you think about the different problems that were faced on Link and Drink 001 versus like when you guys had to relocate to away from brick and mortar to Seven Sushi like within a week or whatever.
I forgot about that.
Like, wow. Right? That was like 006 or 7, right? I just
remember it was 007 because we were trying to have
the James Bond feel. He shot that promo video.
Yeah. So, I mean, think about, and this is all Brandon's stress, and you are associated with it, but I just remember Brandon telling us about like how stressful like all this shit is, and like having to reinvent the wheel overnight, essentially, and making sure it happens. And it, and again, it's all worth it in the end, but like it doesn't get talked enough about like how much of an arm and a leg you have to give to throw some of this kind of stuff on.
Yeah, and it's one of those too. I mean, I remember Brandon, I think it was the night before, we were all still stressed. I think I was sleeping at their place. And it didn't matter the time of day. He was still trying to figure out where we can go, like switch it up. We have less than a week left. Everything just, it was chaotic. But like you said, when everything turns out and everyone has a good time, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah.
Right. Nothing.
What's cool though? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say what you were going to, like you let in this, like the problems that come up from event one of just like, all right, let's get people in the door.
Yeah.
To then event like seven where it's like, oh shit, we got to pivot. We got to bring this to a new spot for Link and Drink specifically.
Yeah.
Bring it to seven and then to absolutely crush it out of the park at seven. Like you dealt with like chaos from mayhem, like out of the left field. And then you executed on it from like a bystander, like walking in. I was like, these guys fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what they did behind the scenes, but they crushed.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, bring it to Finnegan's and doing it again. And then predictably it was supposed to be at the Walker for all of 2020 that got shut down.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. That was a great spot for it.
You guys were running full steam and it was like super exciting to like follow and be a part of each one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it might come back.
I know. I really.
It might come back.
I know. I heard you two.
We don't want to say much yet.
Okay. Not yet.
I don't know if I'm talking about it specifically because.
I think I've been talking about wanting to have Link and Drink back for the last month. At least once a week I mention it, whether it's to my friend Hannah Perez or someone. I just remember that's how I met you guys. That's how.
Right.
There's not many. I like how I'm promoting this, even though it's not happening yet, but Link and Drink was a great place to network. It was a bunch of young people. There were even older people there that were there to network, and it was very focused on certain topics, so anyone could come. And I just remember meeting so many people there that I still know now I'm very close with through Link and Drink. Right. And usually you think of a networking event and most people are like, okay, I got to dress up for it, get my name tag on there, kind of just, you know, sit, watch a talk or whatever. Link and Drink was the complete opposite of that. You could do whatever you wanted. There were people talking for a little bit, but after that, it was just go network, have a good time.
Yeah. Exactly.
On that topic, say like one of us were to bring it back or someone like Brandon's like, hey, can you go take this and start it over again?
Yes.
Just out of curiosity, what are the things that are like, let's make sure this happens again? I would love to see this added. Like for me, I'm looking at the panel. And I'm like, how important is the panel? Is it important to have a topic and everyone coming that's like themed around like, okay, this is like photography people specific and just like that's the community people there? Or is it person to bring it, or is it important to bring in a photographer expert that kind of lures in even more people that are going to be like, oh, that person's there. I'm going to come hear him speak and then talk to new people.
Yeah, I think for the first few, we kept it kind of general just because we didn't know what we wanted to do. We just wanted to have a networking event. And that was where it kind of, like you said, almost with Instagram, where it's your home base. We had our home base of people for the first couple episodes where they just came for the networking event, but they ended up sticking around for all these different topics. We had photography. We had, you know, we even had the sports industry with Blake and my buddy Shabazz and Felicia. And that was one of those where that was one that really hit home to me. And I think starting out, trying to keep it general, but then you can get dialed in to what topic you want. It is hard though. I will say planning for the topics, that is a lot harder than I was expecting when we were doing it. Like mm-hmm. trying to find 2 to 3 people that could be on a panel for a specific topic, that's a little difficult sometimes. So, and we tried to not have it be the same person for each one. So after you're having 3 people on a panel for 7 episodes, that gets a little tricky. But
the interesting part about Lincoln Drink, though, after all you said is said and done, you know, the majority of the stuff we were talking about was just about showing up to the space and just networking and
linking. You got and drinks drinking. There. You're
linking
good.
And drinking. Right. Like yes. It's in the name of the freaking title. Like, I don't want to say you take away the panel aspect, but like the stress, a lot of the stress is in that fucking panel.
Yes.
But like,
if you could take that damn thing
if
out.
If you take the thing out and like maybe centralize it to like Andrew saying like one person's talking for 10 minutes or like make it very minimal because like people are there to talk. Like yes. I just remember
When I would walk in, I would be talking over, like, I'm sorry, Nick, if you're listening. Like, station,
I hope Deck sees this.
Yeah, Deck and I were standing in the back, and, like, we would be, like, I'm meeting someone, and, like, I was just...
Oh, yeah,
100%. And then Nick would be like, you fucking stand up and be like, all right, hey, everyone, be quiet in the back. And Deck and I are like,
oh,
fuck.
Oh, my gosh. I just remember I would be shooting pictures for it, and I would be talking, like, someone would tap me on the shoulder, and we would start talking, like, chatting. And or there would be just a group of people having a great time in the back corner, trying to stay distant and be quiet. And then someone would just start laughing. And Brandon, or you said like Nick, just look around, try and find the person. And then whoever had the mic, if it was Brandon or Nick, just stand up quick. Be quiet. We're trying to listen to this panel. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
So that's the great debate.
That's the great debate. Do you even bring back the panel or do you just centralize it around something? Like I thought it would be really cool to do like a comedy show and just do like a race of like 3 or 4 comics, give them 5-10 minutes each and then do like 40-50 minutes. Say it's a comedy show with linking after before and after or something like that where you like centralize it as a show. Or if you want to do panel style again, I would just commit to like a live podcast with some like a single person.
That actually is really smart. Yeah.
A single person with a podcast. Like you can think about the limits, the things you could do with that.
That's literally almost like date night podcast. Yes. I was going to say like, I came to one episode and
you were trash, maybe it was, by the way.
Okay. Well, I was having a good time before.
We'll cut that dude.
Then Hannah Perez calls me and she's like, yeah, I'm at date night podcast. You should come through. So I get into Uber 5 minutes later, show up. And for me, though, there were people watching on Twitch on their phones, just watching it because it was a brewery. So everyone's talking, having a good time. You guys are filming it and we're just having beers and watching it on our phones or whatever, a live podcast right in front of us. So if you wanted to listen, you could. If you wanted to talk, you could do that as well.
Exactly.
Boom. Okay. There it is, dude.
Everyone, not everyone, look at this. But there was, I would hear like 2 or 3 people after I left every recording saying, you should have this over the speakers. And you need to like make this an event. And I am like a firm believer in saying that's the wrong way of looking at what we're trying to accomplish in this actual, I don't know what Lincoln Drink, how this would work, but for date night podcast, the intimacy of the conversation needs to happen in that bubble. Yes. And people can tune in without them actually like feeling the pressure of people tuning in. Like yes. on Twitch.
Yep.
And then the audience comes in to feel the energy of like the date leaves, they hear the laughs coming in the background, the date walks in, they line up at the end and they pick someone and it all happens in an hour.
Yeah.
And the whole time you're sitting with your pod of 4 or 5 people that you brought and you're drinking a beer. Right. That is the fun part.
Oh, we were drinking beers.
And so you were drinking beers. Sure. The fun part isn't actually hearing what's going on because right. then you're now silent, you're listening. Some of the conversations are hella awkward and you're kind of like, this is ridiculous. Why am I listening to this conversation? This date's never going to work.
Yeah.
Honestly, like that is what people are going to hear. You have to wait to the podcast to find that out. The live event is more so you hanging out with your friends and having your friend go on a date. That's at least my intention of it. Cause I don't think it should be a live show where people are expecting to hear what's happening. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, show. Okay. So again, Lincoln Drink is a networking event. It's not a show.
Yes. Right. But I do like the comedy show to lighten people up. And maybe it's only like 25 to 30 minutes.
Right. Yeah. You can do a light comedy show and book it with like 3-4 comics, have them each do like 5 to 7 minutes and then have a host, and that could be a 30-40 minute show, wrap it up. But again, that's that's a show that's asking people to kind of dial in to listen to something, when like the net people are showing up for the networking itself. So like I really want to, the idea of the date night podcast and how the intention
was a great idea. That was just a home run.
It was sick.
Shout out to Maureen. So, first off, Maureen, because that's Declan's mom.
Okay.
Maureen pushed this narrative since, I would say, like 2019.
Yeah.
Declan.
November 2019.
Declan threw this idea out. Maybe it was when we actually did the actual blind date.
That's what it was.
And Maureen was like, we did a blind date on our own on the back pocket. Declan stepped in and there was.
I think I remember that. I remember seeing that.
Wild. And we were going to execute this in 2020.
Was this with the twin, by the way?
Yeah. With the twin.
That's right. I remember that. Okay, okay.
Okay. So this is the backstory I don't think we've ever shared on the podcast, which I want to get into.
Yeah. Here you go.
In 2020, the very beginning, it was February, and Deck was doing a stand-up show, and we had Sid K come, and we were going to pitch Sid, and we were in the talks of pitching Sid K as our host of the Date Night podcast, and we were going to start this venture with her. And COVID hits, this whole event style talks comes to a close relatively quickly. Yeah. Like, we were already in talks with this app called Let's Go, and he was going to partner us with First Draft.
Yeah.
Things were like moving. Things get shut down because of COVID. We still want to start a podcast with Sid K. And then we have her on the show on the back pocket. Sophie comes on right after, and we're like, these two are icons,
home run hitters.
Yeah. They are so easy to talk to, and they're so confident and like comfortable, great voices for podcasting. And then we come to them I think we told them right away, like, you need to start a podcast. Yeah. And then they didn't like come to the realization until like August after that, like
took some time.
April.
Well, yeah. Well, they didn't even know each other. And then we started all working out together, started hanging out together, became friends. And then that's when like the idea clicked in our heads, where it was just like, oh, you guys should start a podcast. We saw that was right around the time where Caller Daddy had already blown up and they went through the whole suit gate and all that thing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God, like people are really interested.
Really interested. Yeah. And we wanted to start like becoming a podcast production company. We needed that first venture to buy into what we're doing and also believe in the talent that we're putting the time and effort into.
Yeah.
That's the crux of Straight Candid. But then, you know, then things start to heat back up in terms of like events can come back to fruition and all this stuff. And so we get this idea, okay, well, you know, let's relaunch this date night idea. And I mean, it's literally called the Date Night Podcast.
Yes.
Because like we couldn't come up with a concept that would work, but we just
how knew. Long did you guys spend trying to find a name before you just decided, oh, we're just gonna do Date Night Podcast? Or was it just
know,
pretty
man.
Simple you
it was just
like
maybe
we'll
a couple weeks of like let's back and forth.
It's coming up with names for stuff is weird because
it's
you
terrible.
can't force creativity. Like when we got the cease and desist from Boatcella, it was like, well, what's the name? And it's like, dude, that's a heavy question, man. Like, let's like pause on this for a sec.
Yeah.
Like, let's take our time. Things don't, this type of creativity doesn't come overnight. And it's stressful to try and come up with something. So the Day Night Podcast in general was just like, let's just call it this because that's what it is. And we'll figure it out. It's 90% intention, 10% mechanism at this point. Like,
yeah,
who cares what the name is? We got to just start recording and figuring out how this works.
Yeah.
So we started in November of 2020 when things really started to, I wouldn't even say they started open back up, but at least you could go to the bar.
They were not. Yeah.
There was hope.
There was hope. Yeah.
First draft. I would just say First Draft was like, we'll bring you in cause it's a podcast, right?
Yeah.
Like, people aren't going to be mingling around cause like it's secluded.
Yeah.
And the very first, like, from November until February, I mean, it was really just our production team and the people that were on the show.
Yeah.
That was all that attended.
That was all it was.
Okay.
And we did not have a concept. And so this is kind of where I was getting
to
the actual crux of the Date Night Podcast, which was we started to record blind dates, single blind dates, where we'd book different people just by reaching out to friends and different people on Instagram and stuff and just book a blind date. And they were terrible, most of them.
Terrible.
So bad.
Because they were an hour long and they were blind dates and they wouldn't like hit it off like in the first five.
Oh, so you knew it was dead within 5 minutes?
Yes. But we were just, and we had our host T-Flow, and I, Like, thank bless you. Her heart. Bless her heart. Like, thank you for grinding out that and, like, learning what it was to be, like, as a host.
Yeah. Oh. But great. But we thank the Lord every day for Sophie because she was like, you guys need to, like, spice this up. What do you think about doing? Yeah,
I want to break down this story real quick because I think if she's listening, which she's probably not, but
if she listens.
Come on,
she,
Sophie.
We're going to send her this.
Yeah, we're going to clip this out. We're sitting, she's going to love this. We were sitting in Miami as we just broke up. in Miami. Like, oh my God.
Andrew hates the city of Miami. We have no idea why.
I'm not going.
It's a great place. It's the next entrepreneurial capital of the world. Anyways,
I'm done with Miami. I'm not going
back. You didn't even have to say anything and he still hates it.
I still hate it. We're sitting there like ready to get on our flight back. Like, mm-hmm. I was still like waiting for like the Uber to get there. And I was like, Sophie, like, you've been coming to these date night podcasts. We've been trying to revamp it. Like, what do you think we got to do? Because this, I'm getting tired of coming each week and recording it. It needs to be better. And I think she just was like not like nonchalant was like, you need to just like speed date. Like, let's just get them up there for like 15 minutes. You know, they're not, these people aren't great at talking. Like, let's get them in, get them out, high energy, and do like three rounds of it. And I was like, holy fuck, Sophie. Like, okay.
Let's, blessing in disguise right there.
Yeah, I was like, what else? What else? And she's like, we'll have a queen and a king each night, and then we'll bring them up, and, you know, everything will be like headliner based, and they'll pick one at the end.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
And then like, we were like, okay, Sophie, like, now let's execute. And Sophie, Sid, T-Flo, others involved, Marcus, Lauren, Jeremy. I mean, there was like a whole team.
You had like eight people running an entire production for this whole thing.
I remember, yeah, because I showed up and there were literally 8 to 10 people just sitting around. I think you had a camera.
Yep.
There were Marcus a couple other people.
Exactly, Marcus. Ben, the little Asian guy, memes guy, Ben. And
Lauren's running all the socials. So she's taking all the Instagrams of
Mark Dowdle, Jonah doing some stuff.
Once we got into the Twitch thing, which again, like, this is a whole evolution to figure out, you know, for us, like, we never like said, this is an event. Just mm-hmm. like, we just told the guests and contestants like, hey, bring your friends for, can't, they asked us, can we bring friends for support? We're like, totally.
Hell
like,
yeah.
It's a tap room. Like, show up and watch it if you want, you know? and so then we started doing that, and like, you just hear the word of mouth and like the energy just being transferred from episode week to week to week to week. And then you show up on the last episode and you were, I think, there on the one before, which was equally as packed, but
it
like,
was very packed.
It's insane.
It was great. I honestly showed up and I was like, wow, there's a lot of people here. And then I think you guys were like, oh, give me a raise of hands. Oh, the entire brewery was there for the podcast. The entire brewery. Because everyone was just kind of chatting everything. As soon as you said that, the entire brewery was just looking like raising their hands. I was like, wow. Oh, my gosh.
Right. Yeah. So, but it goes back to the same concept of like, that's a show. Yes. But it's intimate in terms of the podcast. But it's live streamed on Twitch for people who want to tune in. So like, we have 100 people tuning into the live stream. Most of them at the bar.
Which is
having
great.
It on as the on in the background. I think it's honestly way better. I mean, the only thing maybe I would change is just put the Twitch stream on the TVs, but just have subtitles and no sound.
Shout out to the chat on Twitch too. I saw the chat going on. Unreal. I love Twitch chat. Twitch chat is where it's at.
It's unreal. Ridiculous, dude. But yeah, I think we can awesome. Bring that back with Link and Drink to some degree. If you wanted to do the Twitch version of the Date Night podcast where you have a show going on with someone famous or some in some industry that could draw people in mm-hmm. for a networking event, I think it could work wonders.
Yeah.
But if we wanted to do just a networking event, like if you wanted to launch it one more time, just to test and see what people are still like committed to the whole thing.
Yeah.
You can just call it like the relaunch and just have like a relaunch networking event and just like use it as like a way to, for everyone to like meet back up, you know, after COVID and everything. And then like, maybe just take suggestions. What do you want to see for the next Link and Drink? And then let the people decide.
It would be crazy to just to see, cause I knew a lot of the Link and Drink community just from, you know, posting on social, helping out with a lot of stuff. You would see the regulars come in. They would support us no matter what. And it would be great to see like for that next episode or next event that happens, seeing them again, because I haven't, with COVID and everything, I haven't really seen a lot of them,
right?
But that's where Link and Drink, it was once a month. I think we did every other month because it was just getting to be too much. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those you knew the regulars were showing up, and it was a good time to catch up, network. You never knew who you would see there, ever. It was just great.
Always new people. And I liked the pod. Like, Nick was hosting the podcast in the early ones, and then we kind of veered away from it at the end. But I think there is something to it with, like, the Twitch stream. Like, if they had 5 minutes, you knew that there was going to be a live stream on Twitch that had X amount of followers every single time. You have a host that is a rocket, like, just very good behind the mics. And, no, not us, but some,
come on.
We're bringing in someone better than us because we only can do so much.
We're operating. Remember, we have
the, you're the operations.
Imagine if we're running the event and the tickets and the organization of everybody and everything like that. Like, we want a nice host that could put it all together.
A great host that ties everything together. And you expect, you show up and you can write your name down and you have 5 to 10 minutes to, like, give your name out there, and it's live stream on Twitch. This host, like, dives into you really quick, and it's a quick sale, and not even like a sales pitch, but like a, hey, this is what I'm doing in the Twin Cities.
Sure.
So that when you come back the next one and you were just on that Twitch, people now know who you are a little bit.
Yeah.
And it kind of grows the audience that way.
That's a good idea. I was also thinking you could just do the panel again, but just Twitch stream it and make it more of an intimate setting. So, like, no one has to, like, listen to it. But if they wanted to, it's on Twitch stream.
That would be great to see it on Twitch and someone's just telling everyone to shut up because they're talking too loud during the panel.
But that's the thing. We have the mics and the headphones that people can tune in on Twitch and it won't hinder. Like, you were at First Draft, it was loud as shit. And you could still hear on Twitch.
That's true.
What's happening.
Right. And it's because only like it's short latency. So you can hear whatever's happening in real time is happening in your headphones.
10 seconds.
Okay. So not
that's not bad
not that
though.
Fast.
Yeah. It's not bad.
It's funny when you hear a laugh from like the contestant and then like everyone like 10 seconds later is like, eh.
You get a double chuckle there or something.
Yeah. What a great Lincoln Drink think tank. Cause I think we need to bring it back. Is that the consensus?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. If I can help in any way, shape, or form, too, let me know. Because that was Lincoln Drink was very fun.
Where do you think what would be a good location to start? In terms of the setting, I guess. Because we did all kinds of
it. I mean, shoot, let's do it here. You got a great place.
We're recording here at Nordhaus.
What was the problem with brick and mortar again?
So brick and mortar is technically like a private club, like a membership club.
Right.
And so I think the big issue was Lincoln Drink, half of the name is drink and
booze.
They don't charge for liquor there, but we would have to bring someone in, like a vendor, to sell the liquor, because we couldn't just have brick and mortar just give out free booze. So
then they need a liquor license,
and then on top of that we needed to pay for the space or something too, so we needed to charge for tickets, and since it's not an event space, we couldn't charge for tickets. So it was just one of those where it was so late in Lincoln Drink that we couldn't afford to lose money. Right. We had to at least try and break even or lose a little bit. So
So no to private events. But the Walker was like...
Was perfect. I never got to tour it, but Brandon went to tour it and he said it was ideal.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know exactly where they're going to host it. And it would be...
It's where we partied that one night.
Unreal. Yeah, we partied at the Walker one time, dude. It was sick.
How do you do that?
We had our...
What happened with
Annie, our good friend Annie, who designed the Back Pocket logo.
Okay.
That, you know, we've talked about many times early on, but we haven't brought it up recently. Annie Vitale. She worked at the Walker doing like corporate sponsor relationships.
Okay.
And there was a big event and she was like, hey, I have like 200 drink tick coupons. It's a free event, but it's only really for like sponsors. You can come. And we lived in Uptown. So there was like a squad of 8 of us that, you know, smoked a little bowl, walked to the Walker. The
boys were great.
But yeah, the vibes were good. And
so awesome.
I think we played hide and go. We played I Spy on a Painting for like 3 hours.
Wow.
That was sick, dude.
I wish that was on Twitch. I would have watched that for sure. I would have subbed within 5 seconds.
Twitch is the future, man. Like,
it's so good.
We had a cord nightmare at Date Night Podcast, but we're working on getting these new cameras that film very similar quality that are cordless.
Really?
Yeah.
And so we should be able to, like, these cameras record with them, but it's these cameras called Mevo, and it hooks up via Bluetooth.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And I can switch cam on all of
them. Oh my gosh. So I'm scared for you on the keys. Just, you're going to have a great time.
I know. It's going to be sick, dude. Like, it's so fun rocking the switchboard, like, live stream. Like, it's TV rewritten. Like,
yes.
We talked earlier about how, like, the newspaper for your parents or getting on the news was like big for them, and like how we view that as social media and how that's, you know, always changing. It's just like, yeah. Twitch to me personally is just like the new version of like personalized TV.
Yes.
Below, and it's I'm not saying it's Fox, NBC, ABC, where we're going to be going to watch football games for the rest of the time. I'm talking about a different version of TV that people can create their own channel.
But the fact that there's even, I don't know if you've seen, but there's a couple creators on Twitch where they get paid to live stream football games, the Thursday night football games. So it was like the last, I want to say last 4 or 5 weeks of the NFL season, regular season, these guys, all they would do is just have their face cam on. They would just be watching the game, reacting to it, and they would stream the entire Thursday night football game. So if you didn't have cable or something, you could just hop on Twitch and you're watching the NFL game for free. Like, right. That's where...
Oh, they actually streamed the game?
Yes. And when there were ads, it would be like, okay, I'm going to take a quick break, go to the bathroom, get food or whatever. Screen would just show something random, I think. And then you'd have the game. I was like, wow. Like, I don't ever want to watch it on TV. Give me Twitch. I'll do that all the time. I want to see... If the Cowboys are on and I'm watching a Cowboys fan stream it, I would love to see him rage when something happens.
Right.
Right. Well, that's what they did with Barstool. Yeah. Barstool with the electric chair. Exactly. And what they just did with the Islanders Bruins series at the pizza place.
Oh, my God. With Frankie.
Genius.
Yeah. The Borellis.
Genius.
Shout out Frankie.
Yeah.
I'm riding the Islanders so hard. Really? I'm the biggest Islanders fan because of Frankie. Like, I'm just like bought in on that ambiance, that like
that energy, story.
That story.
Yeah.
I've been betting on the Islanders every single night, and they're always the dog. And I'm not only like invested with my like energy and my passion, but I'm invested financially.
So he really loves the underdog.
I really like the underdog. And tonight we're recording on a Thursday. The Nets are playing.
Oh my gosh! Tell me about it.
In Milwaukee,
who do you have?
The Lightning are playing the Islanders at home.
Did you toss a parlay?
The Nets are a dog, and the Islanders are a dog.
Who tossed a parlay?
I tossed a parlay.
That sounds
about
right.
I gotta get on that. Yeah, actually.
Wait, I mean, Nets are the underdog?
The Nets are +5.5. And
we gotta end this podcast soon. I'm sorry.
On the road. But hey, I say this often. I digress. what were we talking about?
I don't know. I think we've talked about a lot of things. But I really want to know, Joe, what's your average quality, dude?
What do you mean?
It's something that you care about at the end of the day. It's something that like you're not good at. Great. It's not something that you're not great at, but you just like give a shit, like a lot of shit about it.
Effort.
Yeah.
100%. It's one of those where, I mean, I think nowadays not many people are working a 9-to-5. That's something that's kind of the past, especially in my industry. Like, I'm not working a 9-to-5. I work on weekends. I work whenever I need to or whenever I'm supposed to or have to. And for me, just showing effort or putting in effort, I wouldn't say I'm great at effort, but I do damn well at it. Like, if I need to do something, I will lose sleep to make sure it happens. And it's one of those where nothing's ever going to be perfect, but if you put in the effort, that means so much.
Hey, real quick, where did you put that battery?
Charger is right on the wall right there.
Yeah, there you go, Marcus.
Big content guys.
Yeah, always. We're always thinking about content. Yeah,
sorry, don't say anything of like relevant importance while Marcus switches out the cameras.
I will say though, having 3 Sony A7s of different versions is a great feeling to have.
Low-key, Marcus, if you want, you can even toss your lens on my A9 if you want to have some fun with that too.
Yeah. Sick, he says.
Yeah. It's got a memory card in there already. Yeah. And
you did Nets money line or Nets +5?
Nets money line. They're winning.
Okay. And then you did Islanders.
Do we like KD here? Can I get a show of hands for KD?
I am anti KD, but I respect the shit out of him.
Okay.
And I'm rooting for him hard.
I love KD. I have 3 players.
He just drives me nuts from like dude, just buy into a team and bring players to you.
Okay, but after last game, you can't say that because he didn't have... Okay, he had Harden, but Harden could barely...
He didn't
barely
do anything.
Fucking walk.
I think he had 5 points.
Yeah, he had like 5
He was 1
points.
From 10 from the field.
Yeah.
He had Jeff Green going off.
Jeff Green is a fucking dog.
Yeah, he's a dog, but he's a 3. You know, he's not a 2. Yeah. In the sense of like role players.
Yeah.
KD just 8. 49, 17, and 10. It was literally the coolest thing to watch. They were down 15 at half. They were
16.
They were +550.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm sitting here watching this game. I'm like, editing the Date Night podcast, I'm like, I'm not just going to watch this game with nothing and financially invest it.
Smart man.
I'm like,
smart man.
I'm like, let's go Nets plus 550, and they won by three.
Yeah, yeah, dude. I have like a ton of free play that I still haven't really dove into.
Throwing the free play.
I got $300 of free play from this book that I got because of March Madness. I guessed within 1 point of how many total points Baylor would score throughout their entire six games.
No. The free play bet was pick the team to win the national championship.
Oh, yeah.
In addition, project how many points they're going to score throughout the tournament.
How much did you bet on that, and how much did you win?
No, all you had to do was enter, and the winner gets free play.
Yeah.
It was free to enter.
$300.
But it was encouraging you to bet more. So he was going to get his money back from everyone else involved in the book, and Deck won that by guessing Baylor, and then on top of that, predicting how many total points.
I'm surprised I didn't see more hype about that, to be honest.
Well,
he doesn't understand what free play is.
When I put in bets though, like most of the time I'm drunk and like I forget to hit the little free play button. So like I put in like $100 for the Kentucky Derby thinking it was all free play, and I just like lost all of it. So I was down like $50 or whatever at one thing that I won from
the ticket. Trifecta or something.
I hit a trifecta, but like, I was like down money. I was like, wait a second, what happened to free play? I was like, oh, I forgot to hit it.
We digress. Let's jump into the average quality, Joe.
Yeah, sorry. Your average
quality. You're talking about, remind me.
Yeah, for me, average quality is just effort. I think that means...
What? That's a great one.
It is. Like, I think it goes over... it goes underlooked?
Unnoticed.
Oh, unnoticed. It goes unnoticed because you're supposed to put in effort if you care about something. But... especially like I was saying earlier, you know, I don't work a 9-to-5. I work weekends. I work nights. I just try and get stuff done. And for me, it's all about effort. You can tell when someone's putting in effort and when they care about something. And especially for me, I want to make sure that I'm doing the same. I care about this more than a lot of things. And it's one of those where you can just tell. And I would say, at least for me, just effort. That's all I care about. You will never live a perfect life, ever. But if you're putting in the effort and you make a mistake, it's different than making a mistake and not putting in the effort. Not making it, you know, you're not
100%.
Trying. Yeah.
Like you're not failing at 100%.
Yes.
I'd rather fail at 100%, learn as fast as I can, and then grow from there.
Exactly.
Than not put in the effort, fail, and where do I even go from that point?
Yeah, 100%.
So 100%. So from that, you know... when you're putting in when you're putting in the effort that you expect of yourself.
Yeah.
And it is overwhelming. Shit's coming at you a million miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
This is a pressure situation and it could turn into stress. What do you have in your back pocket as this anxiety is rising?
I like that. I guess for me, it's kind of weird because I do like the stress. I kind of live under stress. So I kind of live for it. I like it. But for me, at the end of the day, I ask, is this really going to affect me? Is this going to change my life? And 99% of the time, it's really not. If I make a typo on a tweet during game day, or I tag the wrong account or something, granted, these are like small, minor issues. But at the end of the day, if someone calls me out for it and says, hey, you made a mistake here. Okay, cool. Thank you for the heads up. I'll fix it. Putting in the effort, to me, is all that matters. I will call someone out if I see something wrong, but they're putting in the effort, they're fine. We all make mistakes. It's not something that, you know, you need to dock every single time you make a mistake. Now, granted, I sometimes beat myself up over it if I mess something up, but it also just motivates me to be better, which I think that's what mistakes are. It just motivates you to get better. It's a learning experience and you're good. Just move on. Life is too short to stress over the little things, in my opinion. It really is.
Amen.
Retweet.
It is.
Yeah, that's like a big, that's for me personally, that's like my biggest strength, but also my biggest weakness, because when things are a big deal and I'm still like, you know, it's not that big of a deal, then, and having it explained back to me, like, this is why it's a big deal, then it's like, oh, okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
That's a weakness, but also it's a strength because you never get stressed out about those things.
No.
And you still focus on the small things. You still try and like put the honest energy and effort towards like making those things as good as you possibly can.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, I mean, it's not going to kill you.
Yeah. As long as I wake up the next morning, I'm still doing all right.
Yeah.
In my book.
Exactly, dude. No, I think that out of all the podcasts we've recorded, I don't think anybody has actually had the average quality of effort. And I love,
really?
I love that answer.
330 in or whatever, how many we're on.
We're not on 330 yet, but we're close. We're like 317. 317. No one's ever answered that, but I think it's amazing and it's super thoughtful in the sense of like, you could always give more effort,
yeah,
but you should also realize like if you're going 100 miles an hour and you're trying to do this thing 110% and you make a mistake, like don't feel bad. Like don't think it's the end of the world. I just think if we can like it, just communicating and putting more out.
Communication is very important too. Communication is everything. It goes underrated too. Oh my God. Too.
That's a
good. It's a. Don't I even love
talk to me about that.
Yeah.
That's one thing that, you know, what's cool about you is you're already doing your dream job, but a lot of people, you know, like me or Andrew or anybody is like, sometimes we're not as fortunate. We have to do other jobs to fuel other things we're doing.
Here's the thing too with that. You guys are still grinding your ass off.
We're grinding. We're putting a lot of effort.
That's the thing. Like even at Butterfly, and if Brandon or anyone from Butterfly is listening, they know because I probably spent 50% of my time at Brandon's house sleeping wise. Like I was coming from Mankato. I would have to take the bus sometimes, like just the bus from Mankato to the cities to get to our office and then Uber from the bus stop to the office, crash there, crash at Brandon's when I could. Like it's effort. And it's one of those where you just have to do it. If you really, really love something, go all in on it. I wasn't in it for the money. That's where I think a lot of people, as you guys know, like a lot of people think it's money first, and that's where they get stuck in that job that they don't like. If you go for what you care about, it's going to suck. It really is. Like, oh my gosh, I was sleeping on couches, anything, beanbag, anything. But at the end of the day, one, it makes your life easier almost afterwards because you went through it. Or it just makes everything seem a little bit less difficult because you already know what you were doing before.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that this isn't really that big of a deal compared to what it could be.
To put it in perspective, so what if I have to sleep on a beanbag? I'm at least showing up for this awesome shoot that I get to do tomorrow.
Exactly.
I think about that all the time, dude. Gratitude. Like if you're super grateful about what you're doing, then like you're going to overlook most times the nights you get 3 hours of sleep, the nights you slept on a couch when you probably shouldn't have, or the 2 hour commute that you had to take. Like those are things that I think we talk about in hindsight where it's like, yeah, do the thing you love to do, even though like it may suck at time to time. But like you in the moment you were probably sleeping on that bus. And trying to make up the lost time that you had before. You're firing off tweets and getting social copy dialed in, or like you were not even soaking in those moments that you highlight of why it sucked. But it's like a moment in time where it's. You guys know what I'm saying. It's just it's crazy that like we highlight those moments, but it's just like we were so grateful for the fact that we were even in the situation. Yeah. And that's the part that needs to be highlighted because like we love to do, we wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Right. Oh yeah.
And like you're okay. This is amazing because like you're on that bus or whatever theoretical situation Declan and I are comparing it to. And in that moment, it fucking sucks. Like you're on that bus and you're like, this fucking sucks. Why that? Like questioning like, damn it. Like, this is a grind. Am I putting myself through something that I don't necessarily need to? Should I look elsewhere? Maybe those thoughts come into play. And quickly they subside and you're like, okay, no, I'm here to do what I want to do and what I love to do. And then you get to that very moment why you're putting in that time and effort. Yep. And you're like, fuck, why did I even think about complaining a second ago?
Yeah.
This is why I'm here. And it happens in so many different situations and so many variations. And to sit here and talk about, you know, just where we are right now and where we first met a few years back is that's what like
pretty
is,
cool.
It's very cool. It's thrilling. It's what's Declan saying, we're able to put things into perspective right now. But there's also things that we're still like, there's things that suck. It's like doing Lincoln Drink 1 and then doing Lincoln Drink 7. Like there's new things that suck.
Yes.
How do you solve that? And that's the thrill of it. Like it just gets a little bit harder and a little bit crazier and like there's new problems.
And I will say too, like, go crazy, you know, put in all the effort you can. But at the same time, at least for me, mental health is very important. And it's one of those where if you're burnt out, like for me, as dumb as this sounds, I am sometimes so burnt out from whether it's posting a tweet, posting an Instagram picture, anything. You can just get burnt out. Like creatively, anything, you can get burnt out. Take your time. Because yes, you know, something could always be getting done, but just take a break, take a breather. If you need to be done for an afternoon or something, just reset your mind. Go for it. Because at the end of the day, you're going to come back better the next day from taking that break, taking that time to just reset, make sure you're good. Because a lot of people get anxious. Like, I love the stress, but I also know I need to take my time to just reset. Because if I'm going stress all day, every day, I will be burnt out by the time I'm 30 easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
And I'm already losing here. See, I can't lose much more.
I'll ask Andrew, dude. Dude, we don't need to go there on this podcast. I don't know why I brought it up, but I think you bring up a great point, but I'd like you to kind of elaborate on that on your own. Like, I think we were talking around Memorial Day or this year, and you're like, yeah, dude, I'm on vacation. This is the first vacation I've ever taken in my life. Like, you got to tell me, fill this more in on that. Like, that was the first time you've legitimately ever taken a vacation.
That is, so I've taken like vacations before, but this was the first family vacation we've ever taken with my family.
Got it.
And I have four younger siblings, and
you're the oldest of five?
I'm the oldest of five, so I'm the oldest of five. Let's go.
We have to shout out Keely because she's here right now at St. Thomas.
I think she's sleeping on the couch over there, dude. Cheers.
But she's the youngest of the five.
Ooh.
Yeah. And she's here.
You're the oldest of the five.
Dex, the oldest as well.
Absolute beauty.
Confirmed oldest.
God, you two are leading the charge of your family.
We try.
Yeah. That is priceless.
Yeah.
I struggle to wrap my head around the fact that Declan is leading the charge of the Brown family.
You know,
Joe, I can see.
I hope the camera did not show that I was shocked, but you know. You're doing a good job.
Yes.
Thanks, man.
But yeah, no, I mean, we never really flew much as a family. You know, we would take a vacation and go visit my grandparents, relatives, stuff like that, Illinois, Iowa. But we never really traveled much. And I flew when I was maybe a year old. Second time I ever flew was to go visit my best friend that I just met on social media when I was 18. And outside of that, it's just been working. I mean, I work weekends when football games are on. So Monday nights, Thursday, Saturday during playoff games, Sunday, I am working. And so at that point, it's kind of one of those where you know, you just don't really have a ton of time. But this vacation was very nice. It was also kind of weird because I was getting told, why are you answering emails? Why are you answering texts right now? Because I would wake up and I would just see an email. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I need to reply to this right now. And one of my coworkers was like, dude, just stop answering emails. Just wait till you're back on Monday and you'll be good. And it was kind of weird, but it was very relaxing, just enjoying the moment, living in the moment. And it's funny too, because I never flew when I was younger, but when I started at IFA, one of my coworkers, Case, he was like, well, do you want to travel more? I said, of course, I'd love to travel. Like, that sounds great. Just go shoot content, meet with our clients, go get some dinner with them, have a great time. And I think starting beginning of January, I was out of town 9 out of like the first 11 weeks. I was gone every weekend. I have a flight tomorrow at 10:30. I had a flight to Atlanta, which is where I got sunburnt last weekend. And I love traveling. I love going to see our clients, but it's funny because I had no clue how to fly. Literally had no clue. I was kind of stressed, like going through security. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm here for my flight when I was 18. I think I got there like 3 hours early and I was stressed about missing my flight and there was no one in line, but I was just like, oh my gosh, this security, there's 10 people ahead of me. I think I might actually miss my flight. Stressing. Now, oh my gosh, I'll show up kind of just being ballsy, just show up hour and a half early, still need to get my clear set up. But now I enjoy flying. I like going to see our clients, but it's not stressful or anything.
Right.
But there is a big difference between flying for work and flying for fun, for sure. We'll get food, whatever.
The thrill of flying for fun.
Yes.
Like knowing you're about to like go to someplace and it's like, I get to go mess around and do knucklehead things for however
I can do what I want.
I could do what I want in this little new play area. It's like, sure. I'm like, sign me up. And lo and behold, you get to go to the airport beforehand. Like the airport, Joe, if you don't know, is my favorite place in the world.
It's his homestead. Why?
Love the airport.
Why?
Because the amount of controlled chaos that happens at the airport is thrilling for me to just like see.
I feel that.
And I'm never in it. Like I can avoid the chaos. I'll see it from afar.
You're a people watcher.
I'm a people watcher.
I love it. Me too.
And I'm so efficient in the airport. I don't think there's anyone more efficient.
Oh my gosh. When I hear the security guard telling me to take my laptop out, you know, take my shoes off, yada, 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 I am already good to go. Right. I just got my music in and I'm good. Take out my AirPods before I go through security and I'm good.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. I love the airport.
It's also just so ridiculous how people aren't good. You know, they need a reminder.
If I get stuck behind someone that does not know what they're doing, granted, that was me first time, but oh my gosh, I'm just like, are you serious? Just take your shoes off. Please take. And then they go, oh, wait, we have to take our laptops out and stuff. Yes, you do. Just put it in.
Do it.
Get it through. Good.
So ridiculous, dude. Unbelievable.
I do love going to the Arizona airport, though. That one,
Phoenix,
nice.
You like Phoenix?
Just because I know where I'm going. Like, that's where I was. Damn. All of the winter. So I I was in Minnesota. It was freezing cold. Got to go to Arizona, shoot a bunch of content, see you, see Sam, the old intern, and have a great time.
Dude. Like,
I was ecstatic to be there.
The fact that we got and Joe and I were not partaking any of the punches thrown or nothing.
Oh like, my gosh. Can we talk about that?
We were legitimately in Holy the midst cow. Of an entire bar fight in the midst of COVID at a bar.
It was the first bar we went to, too.
Yeah.
Can I give a little bit of a story on this?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so
it's your podcast, dude.
I'm there in Arizona I forget what we're there for, but I hit up Sam because I know he's there, and one of my friends from Mankato, Limo, was there as well. And Sam,
Limo's a big fan of the back pocket, by the way.
Limo
has nothing but good things to say.
Is that his actual name?
That's
his
last
name is
name,
Travis
right?
Limoseth, but he goes by Limo. That's like
I mean,
the
why
nickname.
Wouldn't you?
Exactly, it's a great nickname.
Right,
kid obviously gets branding.
Exactly, and so we went over to Sam's place, had a good time, and then it was probably like 1 a.m. or something. We decide, oh yeah, let's show Joe the bar scene.
Was it really that late?
It was late because we were at Sam's for a while, and you showed up from.
I was with Bio.
Oh, that's this weekend.
I was with Bio.
Like an hour. Yeah, it took you an hour to get there.
Yeah.
And.
Well, no. Well, yes, it did. But yeah, I was with Bio. We showed up at Sam's. And yeah, we just started partying.
The pictures from Sam's apartment were hilarious. I still have like 50 pictures. Whoever took the pictures just spammed the camera button just to get every single one. But we went to the first bar. They're like, oh, yeah. Let's show Joe around Tempe. I think that's where we were.
Yeah,
Tempe.
We were on Mill Street, which is like Arizona State's bar street.
Yeah. First one we go to, we're getting ready to sit down, and some guy just starts talking shit. Like, just smack talk.
We're walking to sit down at our, like, plastic secluded, like, little sit-down space. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, and he starts talking shit. I'm sitting there on a client trip. Like, I'm just here to have a good time. I thought we were just going to get some drinks and have a good time. And so I'm literally just sitting on the chair, and this guy just starts throwing punches out of nowhere.
He jumped like the median. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Like a table?
But no, there was like, it was like that. The couch that Joe's sitting on right now, there's like another one reflected on the other side. Facing
the
other
right
way.
Over the top of a
couch. So it was that.
This guy had hops. His vertical was insane.
It
I
was
that.
And then like, as we're sitting down, like.
Potential IFA client.
No, not
that money.
Not that guy. It was just so ridiculous because like talking shit, it all happened within like a minute. Like seriously. By the time we had like fully taken a seat, like they're already throwing punches, and then like everyone got involved. Joe and I were just like sitting there, but, like,
Declan and I
protected
I
like Sam's
sitting,
girlfriend and
like,
other people.
Yeah, I was literally sitting like this, just watching. I was like, I'm not doing anything. Like I'm just watching. But that was my first experience of a bar in Arizona, and then the poor waitress comes over. They get rid of the guy. She's like, I'm so sorry. Do you guys want to stay here? And everyone's like, no, of course not. We're leaving. So we went to that bar, and then we were there for maybe 5 minutes, left, went back to Sam's apartment, and I think that was it.
No, dude. We went to a whole other bar. We were out till like 3 or 4 a.m. Yeah, and then we all went back to Sam's apartment or whatever. I slept there.
Oh, yeah, that's
there.
Right. Yep.
And then
You slept there too?
No, I didn't, because you took the couch and I went home. And I was in home in this sense was Bio, who had left at the pregame. Because he was like, we're tired. We had just he had flown in like that day at like seven in the morning. So he was gassed. He wasn't trying to go out till 4 a.m. So he went back with his girlfriend. They had this Airbnb like real close to Sam's. So I was like, okay, sounds good. I'll Uber back. So I Uber back to his place, and it's three. The Airbnb is a series of three identical units, all one floor.
Oh yay! Hell yeah!
All the same floor. And I knock on the door of the one that I think it is. I knock on the door originally. Bio doesn't answer. So I go around to the back. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to jump over the
back
fence.
Door, back fence, back
I'm
door.
I'm
going
to jump over the fence. And I'm just going to go through the back door. Well, I jump over the fence into the wrong unit. And I knock on the door. And it's some random guy. And he's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. Like, I knocked on the wrong one. So then I hop the fence. Go back around, knock on the door one more time, Bio answers, and I go in. So I'm like, great, cool, you know, made a wrong mistake jumping over.
Yeah.
Well, this is an Airbnb. They got camera angles. They got everything, dude. And it was awesome to wake up to this. But Bio and I go on a run in the morning. We get back. He gets this DM from his Airbnb lady. And it's a video of me jumping over the fence.
Oh, my gosh.
He goes, whoever this is needs to get off the property immediately. He broke X, Y, and Z rules, everything like that. We have pissed off tenants. Like, this person is not allowed on the property.
Oh, my gosh.
Please remove him from the premises.
Do you still have that video?
No, it was in it. I'll try and get it from Bio, but it's just funny because it's just me,
it.
Like, mangling, like, trying to keep my balance on, like, the tippy top of this, like, 6-foot fence.
Oh, my gosh. I could already see it.
So ridiculous. But, yeah, what a time in Arizona. I'm sure you'll be back. We'll run it back at some point.
Yeah. How long are you there for?
Till
next December now.
Okay. Yeah. So I think I'll probably be there once rookies start training there. If we have anyone training over in Arizona, I will be down there to get some content and see you again.
There you go, dude. I love that. I got to ask, though, of all like the different rookies, different people that you kind of associate with on a daily basis, really, would any of them be a good challenge for us to try and get on the podcast?
Does it have to be rookies?
No, it could be anybody. I think we should get Blake. I think that would be...
Blake would be great to have.
Blake would be an awesome podcast because I listened to him on Ben Lieber's podcast and I just...
Oh, you did?
Fell in love with that dude. I thought he was awesome. I also met him at the Lincoln Drink before too. But anyways, I think Blake would be an awesome podcast guest.
Blake would be great. I will let him know.
Is there anyone else in terms of like athletes or clientele or anyone that you guys have in the IFA hub that would be good?
One of our clients, Jackson Erdman, I forget who it is of you two. I told you before, but I shared something with Adam's podcast and he was like, oh my gosh, I know these guys. Jackson would be just a great person to have on.
Cool.
He is an awesome dude. Love seeing him. And on top of that, so he was in the fan controlled football league. So I don't know if you guys know what it was, but he played last year and this dude is great on TikTok. He would love to be on here just even talking about social media, because I think that's one thing I noticed when he was posting on there. He showed up on my For You page. I was like, oh my gosh, that's Jackson. Hell yeah, let's go. And he would be great. Posted on there a ton. He would break down plays, everything. Just a great dude overall.
Cool. Good media personality, sounds like.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's a great dude.
He played at St.
John's.
I think
they won too. Jackson, if you're seeing this, I don't know if you guys won, but I'm pretty sure because I remember seeing it all over social media. I was hyped. But cool.
And he played at St. John's.
Yes.
Was he a quarterback?
Yes. Number two. Long blonde hair.
And how old is he?
I don't know off the top of my
head. The starting quarterback, like the really good one?
Yeah, the guy from Penn State.
Penn State?
I don't pay attention.
Does he have a girlfriend?
Yes.
Brittany?
I can't remember. Brittany something.
Yeah. That's him?
I'm pretty
that's
sure.
This guy.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now I know who you're talking about.
Sorry. I'm on social so much. I'm just
all right,
like.
I will say, our senior year, we got after his ass.
No, he's a good dude, though.
He's a good
dude.
He's
a
really
great
good
guy.
Dude.
I
he's
love
a really
Jackson.
Good dude.
Jackson is so awesome. He would be great on this
podcast.
He would
be awesome to have
really
on.
Cool.
I would love to have him
honestly,
on.
Honestly, yeah. I would just come to watch because I love Jackson. He's such a good dude.
Damn. Fuck yeah. I would love that.
Oh my
hell yeah! We should definitely have that guy on.
Yeah,
hell yeah!
I was really cool putting the pieces together.
Yeah.
Sweet.
No.
I would. Yeah,
yeah. We just need to.
That guy's rocks.
Boys had to talk about it for like 30, 60 seconds. Then we knew what we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah. You just need to know the connections.
Exactly.
Too. It was so funny. Sweet. I got recognized on the street in North Loop yesterday when Keely, my little sister.
You did
and I,
not. You didn't tell me this.
No, yeah. As you're hearing
no,
this.
No, he waited till now so he could flex.
Exactly.
Right. No, so Keely and I are going to Black Sheep Pizza in North Loop. We park across the street and find a nice parking spot.
Yeah.
I traditionally don't pay for parking or whatever, but anyway, the people
what?
Who are
at he never pays in the apps. He's gotten 12 tickets.
Yeah.
Bro, four,
five,
what?
Five or six.
I got towed in Dinky Town, and after that, I pay for everything.
That's fair. Well, I mean, it was used like the Park Mobile app or whatever. Yeah. It was like, you know, we were going to do that, but it was my buddy's Kurt's car. And
oh, yeah. Let Kurt take the ticket.
I would pay him for the ticket if I got it, obviously. But either way, it was a lot of jumping through hoops to try and pay for something that I was like, you know, this is traditional not to pay for it. Might as well.
Yeah.
It's so irrelevant to the story. But anyways, the second I get out of the car, this guy's like, oh, Declan, what's up, man? Like, good to see you. I'm like, oh, no, I don't know who you are, dude. Like, and it was so funny. I never got the guy's name. I still to this day don't even know who it was. But he was with another guy who was like, oh, dude, like, guess what? Like, we're going to meet with Busy tomorrow. Like, we got this pitch on Busy. And I'm like, no way, dude. Like,
hell yeah.
You know French and those? Like, Alex French, the founder, and Andrew and them. Like, ah, yeah, sounds good. Like, had this
no way.
Full-on conversation just because all of us knew who each of the people were. And I was, like, telling them, like,
so only one person knew one.
So he was like, hey. He was like, hey, yeah. Declan, how's it going? I'm like, good. And like, didn't know who he was, but he's like, you got to meet my boss, who's a real estate guy, and we're meeting with Busy tomorrow. I'm like, awesome. Like, if you do, you guys know these guys at all? No, but like, we love the brand, see that they're blowing up and they want to get into real estate. I'm like, that's so awesome. I'm like,
yeah,
just so you know, like, Alex and these guys are hardcore hustlers. Like, they went through like the Techstars startup and like slept on the office floor like 3 years ago and quit their jobs to do this thing. Like, these guys are hardcore. Like, these guys are totally rocking it now. Like, just so you know.
Know your shit before you get into this meeting. Yeah.
Just so you know, he's like, oh yeah, like Brett Broll, blah, blah, blah. A guy who had Andrew and I who had on the podcast before that too, who's part of Techstars and all this stuff. And it was just so funny, dude, to like see everything. Like, I got to have a genuine conversation, help them like get ready for their meeting the next day. And I still to this day don't even know either of their names. And
oh my gosh.
It was like the funniest thing.
Is that the first time you've been recognized in public for like the Back Pocket podcast?
No. It's happened a few times.
Oh, okay.
But
must be nice.
I mean, it's just cool recognition.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. They're always in like the situations where you never expect it.
Yeah.
Like, we're walking around Stillwater handing out flyers for Bochella.
And that was great, by the way. It was that awesome. Content was great. Yeah. I live for that
just
content.
Rich.
Yeah,
that is something that, you know, Decky queues up and I'm like, oh, is this gonna hit or miss? Don't know, but I just know that Marcus Jordy are gonna do a great job shooting it, and Deck's gonna be like, he's just gonna be on one. He's just gonna be vibing, and I'm just gonna ride it. That's
exactly.
my role is to ride his wave. 100%. And we see a wedding party for the, like, and Deck and I have been saying for every Bochella ever that's ever existed, bring on your bachelor party. If you tell me you have a wedding that weekend, bring your wedding. Like, I don't want to hear that excuse.
That's just our fun excuse.
It's a funny thing. We know it's never going to happen. Lo and behold, a wedding party is shooting their photos for their wedding day that's happening that day. And Deck and I are like, wow, this is
hair on, great.
Yeah, hair on your arms. Type of situation. We walk up there, and not only is it like a cool moment because like we think it's the funniest thing talking to this bachelor party or talking to this wedding party, one of the girls is like, are you one of the Back Pocket guys? And we're like, yeah, that's who we are. Fuck yeah. But
exactly who we are.
Yeah, like that's the moment that I really care about. It's like,
yeah,
this is just, it's just a cool one-off thing. I'm not like out here to like hear my name get noticed, but like to see it in that moment.
Just the appreciation.
The appreciation.
Exactly. Yeah. And the recognition.
And the effort.
And the effort. Exactly.
All comes back to the effort.
And dude, the best part about that story is we posted that promo video and obviously they're featured in it. And then someone tags someone who was the girl who got married that day. And then she DMs us immediately and was like, hey, like, can we go to this? Like, is it still a possibility? Like, there's still tickets? I'm like, absolutely. Like, she's like, do we get any sort of deal? I'm like, absolutely. We booked 11 people from that party.
Oh, the Wagner wedding.
The Wagner wedding special, dude.
So the Wagner wedding is showing up.
They're showing
100%.
Up.
100%. Wow.
The coolest sale of Boachella 2021 for sure. Can't call it that.
Can't call it that yet. Yeah, we'll we got a cease and desist.
We'll cease and desist. It's the boat party that got a cease and desist from Coachella.
That almost makes it better, though.
Yes.
So much better.
Yeah.
So much better. But oh, that's dude, awesome. It was fucking sweet.
That's the good challenge, though.
Yeah, great challenge.
We would love to have Erdman on. Yeah, we'd love to have him on, Jackson. That would be sweet.
Yes. I will take note of that, and I will see if we can make it happen.
All right. Sweet. Sick.
Do you have any final questions? Or you have any additional questions before I ask the last one?
Yeah, anything we got to address here?
I don't think so.
I texted Sam before. I'm like, hey, dude, you know, you're friends with Joe. I'm sure you're going to listen to this podcast. Like, you want me to ask anything?
If Sam doesn't listen to this podcast, I'll be upset.
Yeah. He just asked if you're back. Are you back, dude?
From where? From what? I'm always back.
I guess it's a joke because he just got a tattoo in his leg and got a bunch of shit for it on social media, on TikTok, Sam on Twitter. Did? Yeah, he got a leg tattoo that says "So Back" and all of
it. Oh, I'm so back, 100%. I roasted him for it at first, but I am so back. Not saying I'll get that tattoo, but I am so back, always.
So back.
I forgot about that. That was an interesting tattoo he got.
Hey,
I think I was the first person to reply to him on it too.
Yeah, he got so it was a Dana Beers like barstool thing about. I don't know why he's supposedly back. It was like the "so back" movement that Dana was pushing on Twitter, and then Sam went out and got a leg tattoo like right here.
I think he did it at his house,
like somewhere like just like right here.
Yeah, it was like a high leg tattoo that said "so back," and I was like, "That's fucking awesome!" But he posted it. Dana retweeted it, and then people just attacked Sam. And it's go read through the tweet. Comments.
Oh,
it's
I'm finding fun, that. Dude, I am finding that for sure. Yeah.
It's so funny to watch people just like flame this kid, like "so back, so gay, dude." it's like that kind of stuff. But anyways, I think that's what he was alluding to.
Gotcha. I am so back. I will not get the tattoo, but I am so back.
Sure. But anyways, that was really, I guess, the only last thing we needed to address.
Well, the back pocket right now, this conversation is so back because
we're back. Yeah.
We have not recorded one in person with like a guest since December of 2020.
Yeah.
It's been 6-7 months or whatever today is.
Yeah,
we recorded one when he was here in May, but that was like a close the door roommates podcast. That was just kind of conversation. We haven't had like a real guest on live
since
December, so I couldn't be happier to have you here.
Seriously,
in this new space here. And just kind of just chop it up because we've been talking about it for a while.
Yeah,
and to do it in the way we did, I honestly could go for another hour and I wouldn't bat an eye, but we've been told we need a limit our length, and we didn't do necessarily that on this episode, but
I don't think there was any sort of like,
there's no fluff.
No,
we don't deal with fluff.
We
no
don't
fluff.
Do fluff, no fluff here.
That was meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tons of meat. We operate lean. That's kind of our new saying here.
We operate lean. I might start using that.
Yeah.
We're lean here.
If you see that on a Twitter post on IFA for, you know, a game day post or anything, you know it's for me.
Yeah.
That's all I'm gonna say.
Well, it's always nice seeing Adam Thielen's post, and it's like when Adam Thielen posted like one of the videos that we put together, and I was just like, oh, Joe put us on. You know,
oh yeah,
it's fucking dope.
You already know.
Like, I was like, oh cool, that it's just like really just three guys who put some stuff together and now are blasting it off to this through this guy's page who hates social media, but like blasting it off through Adam Thielen's page.
Yeah.
So awesome.
It's great. He loves a podcast too.
Yeah, it's great. But
we got one final question.
One final question.
Okay. What did you learn today from the moment that you woke up to when we're having this conversation?
I would say just honestly motivation. Like you guys with Link and Drink, I know we talked about that a lot, but just the motivation coming back with that and everything, it gave me more motivation too. I'm excited to see that happen. I think we talked about a lot of things, but I just want to provide value for people. I think value and relationships are huge, especially nowadays. And Link and Drink is a great place for that. And even now, us talking just in a podcast, it's incredible. You learn something about every single person. You never know where that'll take you, ever. I would say that's about all I have to say.
Hey, man. Cheers to that.
Cheers to it, man. I think... like we said, we're so back. All three of us.
100%.
We're so back.
So back.
We're so back.
Oh, yeah.
I miss doing these kinds of things because, like, to be totally honest with you, I mean...
Zoom conversations
and, like, what Andrew and I are doing with the back pocket, yeah. Like, our main rules, like, when it starts feeling like a chore, it's time to cut the cord. And it's like, Andrew and I don't want to cut the cord on our own podcast. Like, granted, we have a billion things going on, but, like, we got to find a way to make it special still. And it's cool that, like... obviously it's going to feel special when like we're both in the same studio together having a conversation with someone, which we're incredibly grateful.
I am so hyped for that. Like I forget what happened. Something came up last minute and I couldn't make the Zoom call. But then I called Declan and I was like, if you guys want to push it back and we do an in-person one, I will be there. No questions asked. I'm blocked Great. Off. And mm-hmm. I am so glad to be with you guys in person. There's just something special about doing an in-person podcast versus on Zoom, Google Hangouts, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's just different. Yeah.
It's so much better. We're so back.
Yeah, we're so back. So we just...
So back.
That's what we're trying to figure out now. It's just like, how do we, you know, with Andrew and I being not together yep. for the majority of the time geographically, but still wanting to put out content on the back pocket side of things. It's like, how do we pivot, you know? So...
But you guys love the stress, so you're good.
Yeah. Thank you for the reminder, dude.
Exactly.
Yes. Absolutely. But regardless, man, phenomenal podcast. Seriously. Thanks for coming on, Joe.
Appreciate it.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap, baby.
Seeing double. Tell the whole squad out the back door, man, I think it's time to huddle. Yeah. We're in trouble. Wrote a pop song, tried to pop off, but I think we popped a bubble. And we run around, but now I know we're tired of the nonsense. All the things we can't control. Really, really messes with a healthy mindset. Are we there yet? Or is this just how it goes? So you wanna play the pop game, said you never, never will change, but I don't believe you. So you wanna play the pop game, said it always goes the same way, but I don't believe you. No, I don't, no, I don't. Triple coverage. Had it mapped out, but you spaced out, man, you didn't see it coming. Yeah. Hold my luggage. About to fly up, holding my cup, looking down and seeing nothing. And we run around, but now I know we're tired of the nonsense. Are we there yet? Or is this just how it goes? So you wanna play the pop game? Said you never, never will change, but I don't believe you. No, I don't. So you wanna play the pop game? Said it always goes the same way, but I don't believe you. No, I don't, no, I don't. So you wanna play the pop game? Said you never, never will change, but I don't believe you.